with yesterday the proving Pat to Kenny be a record show. For the
with
death
the Jaguar
toll,
E-Pace,
as well as new
beautiful by design and dynamic
the
to drive,
on the health system is
delivering
intense,
performance that is unmistakably
worse,
Jaguar.
According to the chief medical
this
officer Tony Holland,
is News Talk.
Ireland is only at the beginning of the curve. And this is particularly worrying, given reports of insufficient protective equipment for healthcare workers who have been contracting the virus at an alarming rate. Well, I'm joined now by Minister for Health, Simon Harris. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Are you a bit dispirited with the figures from yesterday?
I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm human, and like everybody else, I'm upset when we hear of fatalities, people passing away from this awful virus. But as I heard you say at the introduction of your programme this morning, we've honestly been expecting this situation. We're in a situation now where this virus has affected more than 500,000 people worldwide, has taken more than 24,000 lives worldwide, and the epicentre of it now is no longer in China, but very much in the European Union. So we know that we're going to see many cases in our country. We sadly know we're going to see deaths in our country. But we also know that the measures we're all taking together, tough and challenging as they are, can make a real difference. So we now have sadly seen 19 deaths from COVID-19. And I hope your listeners, I suppose, are very much getting the message that, you know, government would not have done the most extraordinary things this week. We would not have effectively laid hundreds of thousands of people off work, shut down the businesses of many people, asked people to stay in their home as much as is humanly possible, close their schools, creches and all that in recent weeks, were it not that serious. That is how serious this is. We have to take this extremely seriously in the coming days. And, you know, I know we're approaching another weekend now, where it's generally a time where people kind of try to congregate and socialise. That just simply can't happen. The message has to be very clear. You need to stay at home as much as possible. That is what will slow down the rate of fatalities in our country, and that is what will actually save lives. And I should say this, because it's important that we do, I suppose, look at some encouraging signs. We are beginning to see, and it's very early days, as Tony Holland rightly says, but we are beginning to see a positive impact from some of the measures people have taken. So if you remember a couple of weeks ago when we published modelling, if there had been no impact from the measures we put in place, we were expecting 10,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Ireland by this Sunday and 15,000 by the end of the month. It looks like we'll be below that. And that is thanks to the Irish people's efforts. It's thanks to what they're doing. So we can do this, but we do need to take very seriously
okay,
the public health.
But the messages, you know, the Cheltenham effect is now being manifest. We are hearing of people who have been infected who came back from Cheltenham. Presumably they picked it up there. We are still welcoming many, many flights from the UK, and the UK now is seen as an area where the escalation in cases and deaths is going to grow very, very rapidly because of political decisions that they made. They were too tardy. Why are we still, you know, we're telling people on the one hand, you stay at home, but we're welcoming people who may take flights from Britain?
No, to be very clear, wherever you've come from in the world, whether you're Irish, whether you're not Irish, whether you're flying in from the UK or further afield, if you arrive in our country now, you need to self-isolate for 2 weeks. And I can tell you this, if you get a plane into Ireland now, that's the message you get on the plane. It's the message you get in the airport. If you arrive in our country, and I can tell you this also, the number of people arriving here is very significantly reduced. Because let's be honest, people in lots and lots of different countries are being advised by their own governments not to travel. But if you arrive in our country, whether you're Irish or not, if you're an Irish person who pops to the UK for a business meeting, when you come back to Ireland, you have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. You should not be leaving the island. You should not be leaving the island of Ireland if you're an Irish person. And if you're somebody coming into our country, we need you to self-isolate for 14 days when you get here.
Now, most people are behaving. The message still hasn't got through to some young people. You probably saw the videos overnight coming from Waterford where lads were racing each other up the side of the Aldi building and one of them fell and injured himself very badly. We had in Dunleary, local to me, someone going into the water. Some are not listening.
There'll always be a few who, no matter what you say and how often you say it, won't listen. And that's why we have passed emergency powers. We're working with Garda Síochána, and I want to thank the Gardaí for the incredible job they're doing across the country, not just in policing, but also I saw them in Cabaret yesterday doing actual shopping for older people in the community. So I want to thank the Gardaí for what's a very busy time for them. We have powers of the country. We want to do this in collaboration with the people, but we're not going to let anybody undermine the health of our nation. Irish people are working extremely hard at this in a very challenging, anxious time. You know, mums and dads at home with their kids, maybe mum or dad has lost their job. People worried, people fearful, and yet they're trying really, really hard. So anybody who decides to be a bit of an idiot during this period of time, that simply isn't going to be tolerated. It's not going to be tolerated by the public, and we have the powers to make sure in Garda Síochána don't need to tolerate
what
it.
What bothers
either.
Me is that the emergency service that were required for these kind of things, you know, this is not work that they should be doing. They have many, many more things to be doing with their time. Now, the text coming in, and we were inundated by dentists on this one, so we suspect even a campaign by them. Could you please ask Minister Harris why the chief dental officer in Ireland's advice to dentists is completely at odds with her colleagues in the UK? They have said no face-to-face contacts and have set up emergency hubs to treat dental emergencies with proper PPE. This is the personal protective equipment.
Yeah, so I've asked the National Public Health Emergency Team to look at this because I've heard from dentists as well. And I'm not a medic, and I always have to say this, but instinctively I get the point that they're making. The point that they're making is why are we asking dentists or indeed patients to come in such close contact with each other for things that are not emergencies? Of course, there'll always be dental emergencies. Indeed, oral health and good oral health can prevent cancers and the like. So there'll always be need for medical and dental interventions. But my gut is we need to tighten up here. And I've asked the National Public Health Emergency Team to look at this, and I expect they'll be able to bring clarity to this very shortly.
Because, as you know, there was the advice from the HSE dental officer was at odds with the Department of Health's advice, and that was very confusing and worrying for dentists.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm led by the National Public Health Emergency Team, chaired by Dr. Tony Houlihan, and I've asked them to have a specific look at this and to issue clear guidance quickly to dentists in this regard.
There was justified outcry when you, the minister, were spat at. We are in the same firing line with evidence that our normal PPE is inadequate. This is from a health worker. And there are concerns. People, I mean, I heard, who was it? Was it Robert Troy talking about people in his area advertising for stuff from hairdressers to act as PPE?
Look,
I mean, that was nonsense.
It was. So let's be clear here, I suppose, for the benefit of the listeners. Personal protective equipment is obviously PPE. What we're talking about here is things like face masks, face shields, covers for your eyes where necessary, gowns, the stuff that basically keeps people protected from the germs of the virus as they go about their daily lives. And there is a massive shortage of this worldwide. Let's be blunt and upfront about it. The world over, countries are now effectively competing to obtain this. I was on a call with European health ministers yesterday where the European Commission is now looking at how can we get Europe to produce more of it. I have relatively good news though for Ireland in this regard. We usually spend, you'll have heard these figures before, but we usually spend €15 million a year buying personal protective equipment. This year we're spending €225 million worth. That's about 15 years worth of normal personal protective equipment. When is it getting here, I think, is what people want to know. It's what I want to know as well. The first flight will arrive in Ireland from China on Sunday. And that will bring a very significant amount of personal protective equipment. I think, I'm open to correction here, but from my memory, there's 10 planes, extra planes, then coming back over the next 5 days. So we have many millions, I think it's 18 million face masks, for example, coming here. Paul Reid in the HSE has done a really good job securing this. I want to thank Aer Lingus. And indeed Ryanair, who've both also stepped up, and pilots who are offering to fly over there. We've had our Department of Foreign Affairs cut through all the bureaucracy that's needed in terms of, you know, visas and paperwork. So there is an Aer Lingus flight going to land in Ireland on Sunday, with the first of what is a significant increase in personal protective equipment. So I know everybody, including myself, absolutely wants to protect those working at the front line. We need to get as much of this as we possibly can. We've done very well, being truthful, in securing all of this extra PPE, and we're going to continue to do everything we can to maximise it. But we have an awful lot arriving in Ireland starting this Sunday.
Now, about airlines flying into Ireland, my sister arrived from New Zealand on Tuesday, wasn't told to isolate, just handed a leaflet. Go on your merry way and do what you like. What hope have we got? That's from Anne and Shannon.
Yeah, so Anne, obviously, I'm not disputing your words, but I certainly know that there's environmental health officers. I've been out to visit them in Dublin Airport, and they're advising people when they land that they need to self-isolate. I suppose there's a degree of personal responsibility here. Everybody who comes into our country or indeed is told to follow public health advice, we need them to follow it. But I'm quite sure that the information that would have been given in the airport would have advised to restrict movements for 14 days.
A question about building sites. This one here says, yeah. My brother is in a building site. He says it's a joke. Absolutely no measures been taken. Lads working on top of each other. Please close the sites now. That's from Pat in Leash. And another one, I work on a building site. Please help us close down. What is your response? I mean, which building sites are allowed to continue?
Any ones that can comply with social distancing, it is that straightforward. So we've given our building sites 48 hours to comply. So you will have heard Liz Canavan, an assistant secretary in the Department of the Taoiseach, yesterday at a press conference say that basically all our construction sites and other businesses have been told 48 hours to make sure you have the physical distancing in place. We will then be using agencies of the state, including the Health and Safety Authority, to inspect sites. I want to protect the health of all of the people in this country, but I also know, in addition to our own personal health, if the virus is spreading in one place and moving across the community, it defeats the purpose of all of the efforts that we're making. We obviously need construction to continue in many cases. Remember, lots of people will be constructing things, including health facilities, hotel capacity that we might use, school capacity, lots and lots of different things. But public health comes first here. And if you can't comply with public health guidelines, whether you're a construction site, whether you're a business, whether you're a factory, it is very clear that you shouldn't be operating. So the HSA, which is the Health and Safety Authority, will be inspecting sites and working with businesses to try and help ensure they can comply in the coming days.
Again, people are concerned about people coming in from the UK. If you decide not to self-isolate after coming in from the UK because you feel grand, is there any effort to track these people or prosecute these people who are not obeying this instruction?
Can I just be, I'll answer that very directly, but can I just be clear here, because I understand why we might focus on people coming in. Can we be aware that there's an awful lot of this virus here in our own country, and that you're most likely now to pick up this virus probably in your own home from your own family? So I am a little bit concerned that if we keep on focusing on external issues here, we somewhat miss the point. The point of the matter is, if you decide to continue to leave your home unnecessarily, you are risking spreading this virus. So, you know, government is constantly asked, and that's right and proper, what are you doing about this? What are you doing about that? And I tell you, we're going to do everything we possibly can, and we are, and we're going to work with the people in that regard too. But it does somewhat kind of sometimes cover up the fact that actually, if you're leaving your house today to make an unnecessary visit to a friend or a family member, you're at much greater risk of spreading that virus than anybody else arriving in our country. If you're deciding to pop into the neighbour for a cup of coffee, human things that we all like to do, you're spreading that virus. If you're deciding to go out in, you know, groups larger than four for a walk or a run or go to a crowded public place, you're spreading that virus and you're risking people's lives. So we're doing everything we can to ensure that the public health messages get to everybody, those coming into our country and those who are living in our country. But we just need to be very careful the message doesn't get clouded or confused here. There's an awful lot of information going around. So let me really simplify it. I need you to stay at home unless you absolutely need to leave your home. Every time you leave your home, every time I leave my home, every time any of us leave our home and come into contact with more people, we risk spreading the germs that are this virus, and we risk it going right throughout our community. And let's remember now, as we look at the cases that are published every single evening by our chief medical officer, we're seeing more and more cases of what they call community transmission. So we now have community transmission accounting for 51% of cases. We have travel abroad accounting for 27%. So that travel figure is going to keep on coming down and down and down, because yes, we can point to individual flights landing in airports, but let's also be honest with each other. Fewer and fewer people are traveling globally. The world is cutting flights schedules on a daily basis. Airlines are letting off people. The advice from this country is please do not leave our country. Do not get in a plane. Do not get in a boat. So actually, we're now at the stage of the virus where it's down to us. It's down to what we decide to do in the coming days and weeks. So I just think it is down to now personal, individual responsibility. It's down to what you're deciding to do as a citizen. We're going to do everything we can to beef up our health service, hire more nurses, hire more doctors, and they're doing Herculean work. We're going to get our personal protective equipment in. We're trying to secure as many ventilators as we can. All of that will be in vain. That will all be in vain if we as people continue to do things that spread the virus. And I say that, I don't mean to say that in a narky fashion. I know people are working really hard in relation to this, and I want to thank them for that. We're beginning to see the benefits of their efforts in some regards. But this is not about somebody else doing something. It's not about somebody from abroad coming to our country and sneezing. This is about us acting as though we have the virus and doing everything we can to stop spreading it. If you thought you had the virus within you, and any one of us could, you could, Pat, I could, any one of us could have this virus in us now, we wouldn't know about it for a period of time. We need to think, I might have the virus. What will I do to make sure I don't pass that virus on to other people? And particularly, what will I make sure I do that I don't pass it on to older people and vulnerable people? And just the final thing I want to say, if you don't mind on this, I do think there's a small degree of complacency that we think this is something that affects older people. It's not. It is, obviously, but it's not exclusively something that affects older people. The median age, the average age of people who've gotten this virus in Ireland so far is 46. And we have seen cases of younger people, including people in their 20s and 30s, getting this, getting it and getting very sick. And we have sadly seen in this country and other countries a small number of younger people pass on. So there should not be a complacency here that I'm all right, I'm in my 30s, I'll be grand. This is something that affects my granny. You have a duty of care to protect your granny, but also this is something that can affect your health too.
Just a couple of quick things. Working on a small site in Waterford, good compliance in general, distancing and so on. So it can be done. That's a positive from a construction site. A question about the results as announced by Tony Holohan every day. And given the delay in testing, are we behind the curve in terms of our numbers? Now, we know when people die, they die. So those numbers are quite precise. But the number of infections, how far behind are we in terms of getting testing results?
That's a really good question, and it's one I ask as well. But the answer I'm told, or I'll tell you what I look at every night, is not actually the total number of confirmed cases, but the rate of growth. So if you think about it, when we were producing our model that said we'd have 15,000 confirmed cases by the end of the month, that was on the basis of growth of about 33%, about 33% extra cases every day. We've seen average growth now of probably around 20-something percent. So yes, I think that listener has a point that obviously we've a lot more people that will be tested in the coming days and a lot more results that will come through. But actually the figure that concerns me or that I watch more is the rate of growth, because if we can slow down the rate of growth, we're expecting, just to be clear, there's absolutely an expectation that the number of cases in Ireland is going to continue to rise and rise and rise for the foreseeable future. What we're watching though in terms of signs of progress is two things. We're watching to see if we can reduce the rate of growth, so there's more cases, but at a slower rate. And secondly, if we can do something in the coming days as a country to try and slow down the rate of admission to ICU. In other words, protecting particularly older and more vulnerable people. And I should say the National Public Health Emergency Team is meeting again this morning. You know, there are concerns in relation to the rate of admission to ICU. The fact that we're seeing, I think of the 1,383 cases that were analysed, we've seen 47 people admitted to ICU. That is a concern. We have to be honest about that. It is a concern, the rate at which we're seeing people in ICU. That suggests there's quite a few people getting very sick. And I'm also concerned at the prevalence of this in a number of what they're calling residential institutions, nursing homes and the likes too. We're also seeing when we look at Ireland that it's, even though this is a small country, that the rate of infection is not in any way evenly spread, even when you allow for population. We're seeing a very, very high significance of cases, 56% of cases here in our capital city and county in Dublin. And then the next county is Cork, but that's way back at 154 cases, 11%. So 56% of the cases currently are in Dublin, 11% of the cases are in Cork. So what's that, over 67% of cases between Dublin and Cork. So are there specific issues or measures that we can take to try and support slowing down the spread in certain parts of the country? So the National Public Health Emergency Team is meeting as we speak, and it'll examine all these issues and report back to me later in the day.
Before I let you go, one last thing. It's about a specific company in Donegal. A listener works in R&D role, approximately 25 of us in one office, no ventilation. Our company is headquartered in Northern Ireland. They won't allow staff to work from home. They haven't provided hand sanitizer, desk wipes, PPE, etc. Our managers here have tried to manage things as best they can, but their hands are tied by the bosses in HQ. All the staff are worried. They'd love to work from home. We have a modern IT system, remote access. It has been used before, but our company is refusing to allow it now. Surely, if they can't guarantee our safety, there should be some government intervention. There are probably a number of companies around the country feeling that they'd be better off working at home, but the management won't let them. What can you say, particularly when the management's in Northern Ireland?
So firstly, I want to say to the management, wherever you are, that the very clear public health guidance, if you care for your employees' health and well-being, if you want to help us save lives, is that you should be doing absolutely everything you possibly can to ensure that your workforce can work from home. Of course, in every circumstance, that won't be absolutely possible, but as many people as possible should be working from home. This is not something we're saying it'd be nice if you could do. This is something we're asking you to do. And the Health and Safety Authority are going to start in the coming days from next week, visiting businesses and making sure people are complying with the physical distancing. I have emergency legislation that was passed by the Oireachtas last week. We're going to have more emergency legislation passed by the Oireachtas probably today. And if it requires me using enforcement procedures here to close down premises that aren't respecting the physical distancing, I certainly won't be found wanting in that regard.
Minister for Health Simon Harris, thank you very, very much for joining us on the programme today.